Well, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Nova M Radio Network. Coming to you through the facilities of KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. It's not over until CNN's Candy Crowley sings. But the indications now are looking good, are they not? And thanks for joining tonight's Mike Malloy Magical Mystery Tour 2006 Election Edition. We're going to spend a lot of time listening to callers tonight. So now's the time to call. We're not going to leave you hanging on like I do so many nights. The number is 800-989-1480. We really would like to hear what you have to say. Now, you've got to keep your television tuned someplace. It's kind of interesting watching Chris Matthews at MSNBC having his ass handed to him by Keith Olbermann. It's also interesting to watch Bill Bennett, the out-of-control gambler on CNN, and J.C. Watt, the former football player who has four children by four different women scattered all over Oklahoma, watching these Republicans as they can't help but notice what's going on. So while you stay tuned to your favorite cable network, stick with us for audio as much as you can. If you have to go, I understand, but stick around. CNN is calling races, so is MSNBC. Ken Blackwell is out of there, just like what's her name in the Secretary of State of Florida, who screwed the race in Florida 6 years ago. Drawing a blank on her name. She was running for the Senate against Bill Nelson.
Yeah, maybe it's Maybelline.
Ms. Maybelline.
Yeah, Catherine Harris.
Yeah, she's out. Santorum had his ass handed to him. He won't be around to scare us with his tiny dead fetus stories anymore. As far as Virginia is concerned, that keeps seesawing back and forth between Webb and Allen. If the bully boys in Virginia can be stopped by the FBI and a fair election allowed, then Jim Webb may have a shot at defeating this nutball Allen, Mr. Macaca. It's too early to start crowing, but some key races in Indiana and Kentucky have been decided. Who would have thought they're key? But I'm going by what the experts say, and they have been decided in the favor of Democrats. In a few minutes, we'll be joined by Greg Palace, and we'll be checking in with Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, who is pulling extra long duty tonight on the Peter B. Collins Show. Also, we expect live news coverage and commentary at both top and bottom of the hour from KPHX's own Jeff Farias. And at midnight, we'll be joined by Cynthia Black, also a KPHX talk show host. So join the fun franchise-affirming festival on the program. What does that mean? Join the fun franchise-affirming festival. What does that mean, Kathy? You wrote it.
Well, yeah. You know, you're voting franchise, you're voting right.
Oh!
The Franchise Affirming Festival.
I thought you were talking about Starbucks or McDonald's or something. Okay.
Walmart.
Kathy is just too smart by half to produce me. I threaten people that I'm going to come and shoot them. You know? The number again here is 800-989-1480. Ned Lamont is not in very good shape in Connecticut. Joe Loserman decided he wasn't going to be a loser and ran independent. The Republicans in Connecticut are voting for Lieberman. They are not voting for Schlesinger, the Republican who is running in that state. Right now, 6,000 votes for Lieberman, 5,000 for Lamont, and 1,000 for the Republicans. So it's very clear what's happening in Connecticut. If it were strictly between Lamont and Schlesinger, that race would be over, but it's not. So Lieberman has decided he needs to do a little bit, a few more Monicas for George W. Bush before he's satisfied. Sherrod Brown in Ohio has removed Mike DeWine from the Senate, and Menendez in New Jersey has held onto his seat, which is very important. CNN is now predicting Lieberman as the winner in Connecticut. Sure. Okay. All right. Let's go right to some calls right now. Kathy, keep us updated here, if you will. Let's start with Doug, who's called in from Phoenix. Doug, welcome to the program. Can we get Doug up, please? Okay, we can't get Doug up.
Nope.
All right, let's. Are you there, Doug?
I am.
Okay, all right. We hear you now. Welcome to the program, Doug.
Thank you. I was wondering, any idea on what the situation is with Kyle and Bad Egg Chatty?
That race, I'm not sure. Kathy can probably find that. John Kyle, that help me out here. What state?
Arizona,
that's right.
Senator John Kyle and Congress Representative Chatty.
All right, we don't have anything yet on, because I believe, aren't your polls still open?
I think they closed 10 minutes ago.
10 minutes ago,
which
all
is
right.
When I just finished, I just voted myself.
So. It's a little past 7 out there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, as soon as we get some, his challenger, the Libertarian, or Richard Mack, is that right?
No, Jim Peterson.
Peterson is the Democrat?
Is the Democrat, and I can't recall the other man's name, though he got my vote.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I had a couple of those myself today here in Georgia, so I understand what you're talking about.
You know, I did vote. I would have to admit, I apologize to everyone, but for two Republicans that were the only reason I voted for them was because their wife was out by the poll, but far enough away that it was still legal, and because I got to speak with her, I was like, "Well, does he have an R next to his name?" She's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Well," she's like, "But," and so I ended up voting for her husband simply because it was a Republican that I had met face to face and was able to talk to. I can't think of any other reason to vote for one.
Okay, well, I certainly hope you don't regret it. All right, Doug, as soon as we get something on Kyle, we will get it over the air.
Also looking for the marriage amendment to fail.
Now, some of the state referenda that are out there, we don't have any, we don't even have them here in Georgia, and the polls here closed over 2 hours ago.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure how quickly the various state referenda results will be put out there, but as soon as we get that out there, we'll let you know. All right?
All right. Thanks. Have a good night.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate you checking in.
Sure thing.
Catherine, is Catherine Harris gone now forever, Kathy? I mean, is this over made up evil person gone?
Yeah, at least if she resurfaces again, I'm hoping somebody just does the humane thing and throws a bucket of water on her and makes her melt.
Maybe she could run for a county coroner in Palm Beach County or something. I don't know.
All right, could at least handle the makeup.
Back to the phone calls. Will is calling from Michigan. Will, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. I've been trying to find out information on ESNS 100 optical scanners, model 100.
Yeah.
And I can't find much of anything about them on the Internet. You know anything about them?
No, I don't, except that they're just as dodgy and crappy as the other voting machines.
I voted on one this morning, and I didn't notice anything out of the ordinary.
Well, that's the wonder of these machines. You never notice anything out of the ordinary. Nobody ever does. Hey, there's the music. Will, thanks for checking in, pal. If somebody hears something about ESS, we'll certainly pass it on. Quick break here. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy from Nova M Radio.
Up to the flying monkey ride, it's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 21 past the hour. As we are, hopefully, we are watching the end of this hideous past 6 years of political illness in this country. Again, it's too early to tell, and it's not over until Candy Crowley sings, but the indications are so far that the Democrats are doing it. Back to your phone calls. Bill is calling from Sun City, Arizona. Bill, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. I had a unique experience today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Well, I've been voting a long time. I'm your age. Today was the first time I was ever put out of the polls.
Put out?
Yeah.
They wouldn't let you vote?
Yeah. They didn't like my T-shirt.
What did you... Now, don't tell me if it was a cuss
word. It's not a cuss word. It's all proper English. I wouldn't do that to you. I love you. It says, impeach Bush Cheney. They said, you can't electioneer. I said, neither one of these guys is on the ballot. Who's electioneering? They said, well, that's political. I said, baloney. It's personal.
Yeah, that seems a little weird. I know you can't get, here in Georgia, you can't get within, 300 feet of a polling place if you represent any candidate on any ballot, I mean on the ballot in any race.
Neither one of these dogs was on the ballot.
I know. So what'd you do?
Well, I wanted to come back in my boxers, but discretion being the better part of valor, I didn't. I went and I changed my shirt, and I came back, and they let me vote. Nice people that they are here in Arizona. But a real better experience was walking into the poll place. One of our senior gals turned to me. She read my shirt. She said, "You're a brave guy." I said, "I'm not as brave as I am angry, dear."
Oh, good for you.
She said, "I wish I could be so brave." Uh-huh. And then she pointed to her heart, and she said to me, "What's that?" She was referring to the red patch I wear over my heart.
Yeah.
You've heard this story.
No, I haven't. Go ahead.
I wear a little red patch with a safety pin over my heart. A safety pin to me represents motherhood. Mothers have held the world together with it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. So you told her what it was? What she said?
I asked her if she knew Cindy Sheen, and she said yes. And I said, wear this over your heart every day. Take a stand where you stand when you stand there. And if anybody asks them to do the same.
Take a stand where you stand when you stand there.
When you stand there. That's what Cindy's doing.
That's right.
That's right. Well, that was the unique experience. She put it over her heart, and I said, now you're brave, too.
Well, that's good. That's good. That's a good story.
Brave America again, baby. Here we go. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate you checking in. RB is calling from the Great White North. RB, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing fine. What's...
Imagine my surprise when I tuned into the election tonight, and I see Lou Dobbs talking about e-voting and Keith Olbermann talking about e-voting and both saying we're going to keep an eagle eye on it. So I think, because there was so much exposure about this in the media beforehand and people are actually taking notice of it, that they were probably, I don't think they're going to be able to blatantly steal it, you know?
Yeah, and you know who put the focus on the electronic voting? It damn sure wasn't Lou Dobbs. It damn sure wasn't anybody, NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, or
they just picked it up.
You know who it was. You know, it started out with Greg Palast, and then Blackboxvoting.org, Andy,
Andy
and,
Stevens.
Uh,
And Stevenson.
And Bev Harris.
Yeah.
Andy, Brad Blogg, Brad Friedman. None of these cheese-eating bastards in mainstream media would even so much as give credence to the idea that the elections were being stolen going all the way back to 2000. So I guess that represents progress, and I guess I should be clapping my hands and saying, well, good, they finally woke up.
But what took them so long? And I have a feeling that that might be why the dirty tricks was so apparent. Like, what was that one? They phoned people and told them that their polling place had been changed.
The evil bastards. Yeah,
so that was more pronounced this time. So maybe that was sort of like all he was allowed. So he tried to go overboard, eh?
Yeah, well,
and I don't know. And how about Bernie Sanders, a socialist, being a senator?
I like
that's
that.
Going to cause some crap.
I like
but
that.
But what worries
me? You know, we need about 30 or 40 socialist senators is what we need.
That's one's a start. And then you got Lieberman, who might be the balance of power in the Senate. Now, what's up with that? What's he going to do? Which way will he step?
Lieberman always triggers my gag reflex. Even when he ran with Gore, I just couldn't stand the guy. I just couldn't stand him. And I don't like his wife either. So, what can I say? And if they have house pets, I don't like them.
But
I don't like the way he mows his lawn. If he mows his lawn, I don't like anything about Lieberman. I think his clothes suck. I just hate him, okay? I not hate him. I just don't like him.
But in the Senate, it could be 49 Republican, 49 Democrat.
And Lieberman.
Independence, a socialist, and a guy who can't figure out what party he wants to be in.
Yeah, he knows what party he wants. He wants to be a Republican, Lieberman does, but he's afraid. He's
his
afraid
liberal Jewish contingent will beat up on him.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like all the gay men in the Republican Party who would love to come out and just be normal, but they're terrified to do that because they're afraid that they'll go home to church and they'll get lynched. All right, RB, thanks, man. I appreciate you checking in.
Talk to you later.
All right. John Leish, what's the percentage over there, Kathy, in the Hastert Leish? All right, it's 57-43, but the difference in the votes is less than 600, with 2% of the precincts reporting. Rod Blagojevich.
No subliminal messages for you to misunderestimate. It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
26 before the hour. Sorry, I ran over there. We changed our little broadcast clock here the other day. I forget what I was saying, but it must not have been very important. All right, author and activist and BBC correspondent and general ass-kicker Greg Palast is joining us now from an undisclosed location. Greg, welcome to the program. And I got to ask you, did the Democrats vote in numbers that simply overwhelmed all these filthy Republican tricks today, or is it still too early to call?
Massive turnout of Democrats.
Start again, Greg, because I didn't hear that first part.
All of the above, because there was a massive rollout of Democratic voters, angry voters. And And when you say overcome the tricks, exactly right. There's still, even if the Democrats take both houses, it doesn't mean that the election wasn't toyed with.
Oh, sure.
You know, I mean, as I wrote on my website, they can't win they can't steal all the votes all the time. But as I wrote yesterday in the theft of the 2006 election, and I'm still very concerned about what's coming in. And by the way, one of the obvious signal flags going up is that the Republican Party is already saying, don't believe the exit polls. We've heard that. You know, when the exit polls showed that were different than the official results in the Ukraine,
right.
Bush's government refused to, said that's obvious.
Right.
That's obvious evidence of voter fraud by the government.
Oh, it's
right?
been insane, Greg. It's been insane
so
the last six.
They're
oh, my God.
It. And the other problem that we're running into is that what we're not getting report, we're getting by noon today, we've got Matt Pascarella from the Greg Palast team down in Washington with the Loras Committee and Civil Rights. 14,000 complaints by about noon.
Uh-huh.
But that's the stuff that you kind of figure on the machine breakdowns, et cetera. What we're not hearing, and we won't get these numbers right off, are under the new ID laws that kicked in. Well, I expect that, in the 2004 election, we had over 250,000 people. 300,000 people officially turned away from the polls because they didn't have the right ID. Now, were these illegal, fraudulent, terrorist voters? No. They were just people that had ID that said Rodriguez and Hernandez and Flores.
That
especially in the West, the voter registrars didn't like. Mm-hmm. They were turned away, 300,000. I expect that to be nearly triple today. We'll see 500,000 to 1 million voters are going to find they can't vote because they didn't like their ID. No one, you don't get those reports. You won't see those for months. We also had about 1.9 million people are going to show up and find out that their registrations have been disappeared.
Yeah, and
never
that's a result. That purge of 2 million voters is a result of the Help America Vote Act, which, you know, one thing I hope happens if the Democrats do take control of both houses, that they will do away with this smarmy, filthy, lying language that they put at the top of all their bills. Help America Vote Act my ass.
Yeah, well, you know, as soon as George Bush tells he's going to help us vote, I get very nervous.
Oh, man,
so,
that's,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, you know, yeah, I mean, it is one of, they've been using vote reform as basically the, you know, the smoke and fog to sneak in the dirtiest tricks out. And one of the things was that began just this year, 2006. And most people are completely unaware of it. The new law requires that new people being registered have to be verified on some mystery approval list, verification list. You say, well, big deal, you know, give you your Social Security number. Social Security Administration has turned down, has rejected half the numbers. Does that mean that there, and just so you know, there's 24 million people registered this year. Does that mean that there are 12 million sneaky people trying to sneak on illegally to the voter rolls? No, it's just that Bush's operation makes sure that these people will never get on. And I got to tell you, if you got a passport and you just came back from a ski trip in Switzerland, you'll get on. But if you don't have, you know, if all you have is a Social Security number, not a driver's license, and that's about 12% of the voting population, you're going to have a tough time voting. They know who gets knocked out. And it's, and obviously, people without driver's licenses versus people who have passports. You're talking about the country club Republican set versus the bus-taken Democratic voter.
Sure.
We know how they're gaming this system.
It is so infuriating because, you know, my entire life, going all the way back to elementary school, Greg, and I'm sure you too, what we were taught was that what made the United States unique was this one person, one vote aspect of freewheeling Democratic Republic, where, no, the majority did not rule the
Well, you
the
know,
rights.
But they counted all the votes, you know. Remember when you know, they raised their hands. They didn't say, oh, no, you, Sammy, and you, Jimmy, you get provisional votes.
Right.
You know, I just was trying to explain provisional ballots on BBC tonight to the British audience. I said 3 million people in the last election, and I'm sure there will be at least that many today, get provisional ballots.
Yeah,
is that baloney stuff? More stuff from the Help America Vote Act, and a third of those are being thrown out. People are handed these ballots. They don't worry about it. We'll check your registration. They use every cockamamie reason to throw them out. And where, you know, let's face it, if you're a white middle class person, you probably never even saw anyone handed a provisional ballot.
No.
Whereas in the ghetto and in the barrio, provisional ballots are handed out like candy. Officially, 3 million provisional bogus, baloney, back-of-the-bus ballots handed out, a third thrown out. That fixed the election in Ohio last time. It fixed it in New Mexico last time. It fixed it in Iowa last time. Today I'm worried about Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Today I'm, you know, worried about Pennsylvania. And like you say, in Ohio I'm not too worried simply because the anger there over the economy, the manipulation, and the war is just absolutely crushing.
You know, I'm from Ohio, Greg, and I still have family that lives in Ohio, but and I realize the votes were stolen and machines were rigged in the last couple of elections, but still, there was a part of me that just wanted it to get so bad in Ohio so that enough Democrats, and that's always, it should have always been a Democrat. A Democratic Party leaning union, blue-collar, worker state. There aren't that many rich people in Ohio in the whole damn state.
It's a working-class state.
It's a working-class state. And going back to Reagan, that's when everything went to hell, when so many Democrats decided to commit suicide.
And, well, they voted socialists. You have to remember that we, you know, come on, let's remember something that the Democratic Party, a guy that, you know, a reluctant Democrat named Al Gore was out there pushing something called NAFTA, which destroyed the economic base of Ohio. So
well,
the
that's
Democrats,
true.
You got, and by the way, just so let's remember, most Democrats in the U.S. Congress voted against NAFTA. It was only the Democratic White House, and we've paid and paid. Remember that there were 19 million people who voted for Ross Perot. I'm going back into history. I know we're supposed to talk about today, but you got to know where this comes from.
Well, the Democratic leaders,
19 million people
were
ready to tell the Republican Party to go fly. This was the greatest opportunity for the Democratic Party to reach out to working class America, and instead they said, "Nah, we'd rather." The problem is you can import car parts from Mexico, but you know what? The Democratic Party didn't realize you can't import voters from Mexico.
Yeah, that's very
true.
And so much of the NAFTA and GATT and the other trade agreements were perpetrated on the working class by the DLC. And this is one of the reasons that the Democratic...
But by the way, that's changing now, because one thing that's happening, and it's very important, people probably don't know his name, but probably I think one of the most important elections tonight is the election, the removal of a character named DeWine in Ohio, replacement with a prince named Sherrod Brown. I got to tell you, this guy is a whole new brand of Democrat. Look for Sherrod Brown to be a candidate for the presidency.
Really?
Yeah, I think so, and I would say that would be in 6 years. He's a guy who understands that there is class warfare going on in America. And I will say, by the way, that he was one of the few white members of Congress, one of the only white members of Congress that contacted me at BBC, very concerned about the theft of the black vote in Florida back in 2000 when I busted that story about the purges. He contacted me, and as well as Bernie Sanders out of Vermont, but, you know, you can't count the Ben and Jerry's senator. Congratulations, Bernie. Good friend. Actually.
Yeah, yeah. Good for Bernie Sanders. I wonder what the pig man's going to talk about tomorrow. That would be Limbaugh about a socialist in the United States Senate. Oh my God!
He's going to go back on meth.
right.
You know, whatever. I can't remember what it was. Was it boys or meth? I can't remember.
Viagra.
Yeah, right. So what's happening is I'm very concerned. I don't want people to forget the fact that 4 million people will be walking away from the polls today told that they can't vote. And not because you had some clown in Arizona who is saying that there are 5 million Republicans who led the campaigns for these new voter ID laws, that 5 million illegal immigrants are registering in the United States. Well, you know what, buddy? You know why? But no one's been busted for this terrible crime. The reason is illegal immigrants do not register to vote. You know why, Mike?
Why is that, Greg?
You have to put down your address. They bust your own, you know, come on. So what the unfunny thing is that 300,000 people were not allowed to vote in the last election because of ID laws. I expect that to be close to a million today as they crank up these new ID things. And people say, what's wrong with the ID? I got an ID. Check your ID. Does it have the same junior, middle, initial, same address as your voter registration? Do you even know what your voter registration address signature is? If they nail you, and see, they're targeting the new voters, which are Hispanic
and
black
voters.
Yep.
Hang on a second. We've got a lot more I want to talk with you about. Plus,
sure.
Quite a few callers here who want to chat with you. But can you
cool.
stick around?
Yep.
All right. Stay right there. Quick break. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
I love the country, but I can't stand the scene. And I'm neither left or right. I'm just staying home tonight. Getting lost in that hopeless little screen.
Making the pie higher, it's more of Mike Malloy.
It's 10 before the hour. Greg Palast, author of Armed Madhouse, among other books, is our guest. In this segment, Greg, I'm just looking at the latest on MSNBC.com, and Jim Webb is now 49%, Allen 50%. There's 28,000, 27,000 votes that separates them, with 82% of the precincts reporting. I got to wonder how many of those votes are fake or fraudulent, or how many people were told not to vote.
Well, this is, I was just looking at Virginia. We got a big problem. Melman. The little character running the Republican Party has said he will do anything to take that state, and he made a big point about challenges. They've got guys out there, and you won't see this anywhere but the ghetto and the barrio. They've got guys out in Virginia with Blackberries, challenging voters. They've got a list of the new voters demanding that, that the poll workers demand ID, and they're scrutinizing it and looking for any type of way to knock people out. Now, you know, if someone's an illegal voter, that's a felony crime. Have them arrested. Right. But if it's just a game to stop, you know.
Yeah, like Ann Coulter.
Yeah,
you know,
if it's just a game, you know, if you commit a crime, arrest someone if they're illegally trying to vote or get away with one. We haven't seen that. What we see is a bunch of guys with Blackberries challenging people, frustrating them, and then they get provisional ballots and they'll be tossed out. So what you're seeing is the exit polls giving it to Webb, and you see the game taking it away and giving it to George Allen. I look for the Senate steal in Virginia.
Mm-hmm,
and
yeah.
You also had it in Virginia. You also have the tremendous problem of voter registrations rejected. People can't even go, or if they show up, they're given a provisional ballot, so no one complains. But you know, buddy, if you ain't registered, you can fill out 19 provisional ballots. That's counting them.
That's right. All right, let's bring in Scott, who's calling from Naperville, Illinois. Scott, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
Pretty good.
Hi to Greg.
Hi, Greg. How you doing?
Brother,
I wanted to give you some update on Hastert's district. I'm a native Illinoisan, born and raised here.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
This morning on the local network in Kane County, Illinois, which is about 40 miles west of Chicago.
Those Republicans still having the cows vote down there?
Well, there were a problem with the fact that they were denying a lot of people to vote in Kane County, Illinois. And they said they were going to keep the polls open in Kane County, Illinois, till 10 o'clock tonight. Now, I've not gotten any updates, or I haven't talked to any of my friends or neighbors to see if there's been any change. But there was some civil rights organizations got involved. And so the news media was reporting around noon Central Standard Time in Illinois, that in Kane County, which is part of Hastert's district, and we know who he is, they're going to keep the polls open to 10 o'clock because of voter disenfranchisement. So, obviously, is Melman working on something like that to try to keep Hastert around, even though...
Well, I don't think he's just aiming at Hastert. I mean, we see the game going on all over the place. I mean, you know, I mean, take Broward County. We've got the Ron Klein, Clay Shaw election. In 2002, the last midterm election, Jeb Bush ordered, over local resistance, computers be put in for the voting, and all the computers crashed in, golly gee, the black precincts.
Right.
Today, where are the computers? Broward County, same place, 4 years later, seeing the crime, lightning strikes twice, they zap the computers in the black precincts.
Right.
In Broward, in a tight, tight, tight race between Clay Shaw and Democrat Ron Klein. The guys are raw, okay? They don't even have to, you know, you don't need Karl Rove sneaking underneath the machine changing the software. They just unplug it, man. There's just lack of, what they do is they put in machines that require technical support, and they don't give it. It's a good, nice, cute.
Well, I don't know what they have out in Kane County. The state here in Illinois, most of it's optical scanners. The other thing I was looking at is I was
you have a Democratic Secretary of State who actually wants people to vote.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the election
system, so there's a difference. There actually are a couple politicians who think maybe some people ought to vote.
Yeah.
The problem is that you've got Ken Blackwell, Secretary of State in Ohio.
Right.
You've got the Secretary of State of Arizona, where NovaM originates this program, was the head of the Bush campaign. You got the same game in California. You got a Bush-ophiliac Secretary of State in California. These guys are out there trying to make sure that people don't vote. We actually have a whole government apparatus designed to make sure people don't vote. This whole challenge mechanism, no one talks about the provisional ballots. No one talks about what we call vote spoilage in America. We've got In the last election, we had 3 million ballots cast and not counted. We had 1 million ballots lost through so-called technical glitches. Forget the games with computers. They just go down.
Mm-hmm.
And they go down. If you are a black person, the chance you will lose your vote through a technical glitch, listen to this, this is official figures from the U.S. Civil Rights Commission, 900% higher.
Then if you're
a white
voter.
The chance that you'll lose your vote if you're a black person than you're a white person to a technical glitch.
Yeah, and that, isn't that just, I don't know.
How do they know?
It must be those machines just don't like black folk pushing their buttons or something. I don't know.
They don't like their color. That is blue.
That must be like, it.
That Democratic blue just gives it away. Exactly. And that's the game. It's you know, and like I say, I was just being on European radio tonight and BBC World Radio trying to explain this idea that in America we have votes that are lost in machines. They don't have that in Europe. What do you mean votes lost in machines?
I know.
What do you mean lines out the door? This isn't Uganda. What does this stuff mean? What does it mean that you're challenged? What's a provisional ballot? What's guys standing there challenging you, saying that guy doesn't have the right to vote?
Yeah, it's crazy. There are people. I mean, we have people in Iraq who are dying tonight, according to Bush, so that they can do there. Iraqis can do what we can't do here. I know that's jive turkey nonsense, but that's what the lie is. All right, listen, Greg, we got a break here at the top of the hour. You get about a 5-7 minute break here. So if you have to go to the bathroom, go ahead. Can you stick around for another segment?
Yes.
All right.
The two are connected.
Yeah, I know they are. All right, stick around. We're talking with Greg Palast, author of Armed Madhouse, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, a writer, a blogger, a BB. I mean, Jesus, if I had his resume, I'd burn mine. So stick around. More conversation. Jeff Farias will have from KPHX, he will have an update, especially on the Arizona votes coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Stick around, Truth Seekers. I'm Mike Malloy on Election Night 2006. Welcome back. Malloy here on Nova M Radio Network. It's about 7 past the hour. Polls are closing now across the country, still open in certain states. In some of the states where obvious fraud was being perpetrated in availability of polling of places and machines. We have an echo here. Is there any way to get rid of this echo that's kind of driving me crazy? That would be good if we could get rid of the echo. Anyway, here we are, election night 2006, and if things hold, the reign of terror in this country is over. Now, Greg Palast was on the phone with us. Where's Greg? Well, no, he said he would stick around. All right, he'll probably call back in. All right, during the next break, we'll have to get rid of this echo that's severe here. Let's try some phone calls and see what happens. Mark is calling from Augusta, Georgia. Mark, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Thank God you're on the Internet. I'm so glad.
Yeah, me too. Thank God Al Gore invented them, right?
That's true. I've been following you since the old IE America days.
Oh, my God.
And I've been following you on the Internet ever since that place closed down, so I'm glad you're there. And unfortunately, we still have hairpiece in Mississippi. And,
well, I'm not sure how that vote is going. I don't think Trent Lott is – let me take a quick look here – Well, I guess so. Yeah, with a third of the vote in, he's leading substantially. So Mississippians are going to have to deal with him again.
I expected everything in Georgia to go the way it's going because we still have all Diebold machines, you know.
Yes.
And in case anybody hasn't seen this yet, I might be the last person to see this. But on Google, if you go to Google Video and you use keyword invisible ballots, a video that's about a 2-hour, 20-minute video comes up that's a compilation of a few different universities that studied these Diebold machines and the actual origin of who created them and the companies that created them and who had them even before Diebold bought them.
Mm-hmm.
It's very informative and very scary about the fact that there's a lot of criminal backgrounds on these people and a lot of fraud, that kind of. I just thought people would be interested in seeing that. Like I say, it's about 2 hours and 20 minutes, so they're going to have to be ready to sit for a while. It's worth it.
All right, Mark, you've got an important call coming in there. So.
Well, can I just tell them to wait? I also wanted to ask you what we can do to change everybody here in Rush Limbaughsville.
Yeah.
To see if we can't change the minds here. I don't understand how people can just take one person's word for everything and vote based on that, and that's what I seem to find a lot around here.
Yeah.
So I'm behind you, and I'll keep watching my back too, okay?
All right, Mark. Thanks for checking in. I appreciate it.
Take care.
All right, you too. Edwina is calling from Phoenix, but she's in. You're in Washington in front of the White House. Is that right, Edwina?
Actually, we've been in front of the White House for the last 2 days.
Oh, you're with the Cindy Sheehan's group?
That's correct.
Well,
that's
good
correct.
For you.
Ann Wright is here. Right. Tonight, it was really, this afternoon, it was interesting. We started reading the names of all of the U.S. dead. Directly, you know, we had a bullhorn, and we stood at the fence, and different people took turns reading the names. We were there for 5 hours, and we didn't get through all the names. That's how many names there are. It was very moving, and most of the names that were read by military families, mothers of service people who are over in Iran, over in Iraq right now.
Right.
And to listen to the emotion, it was like a roller coaster at times. People were really, you know, the women that were speaking would get really angry, and then they would get very tearful. And at one point, Cindy was reading a list of names, and she got to her own son's name. And I can't even tell you, there was not a dry eye in the whole crowd. It was it was so unbelievably real. It was very powerful, and I think tomorrow we'll be repeating that activity. In fact, we're thinking, I think what's going to happen is we're going to do 24 hours of reading the names directly over the fence with this bullhorn. It's kind of interesting, you know, they bring the dogs out, and, you know, they've got all these kind of paramilitary people standing on the other side of the fence like we're going to jump it and do something. I'm not sure, but...
Well, when are they going to tell you?
It was a very powerful day.
When are they going to tell you that you're violating an anti-noise ordinance in Washington?
No, that, you know, that hasn't happened. They do have certain rules, like there's, you know, within a certain place right in front of the White House, we have to keep moving, but we moved down a little bit further from that. And actually, tonight they seem to be relatively tolerant. And I don't know if it's because of what we were doing. They seem more tolerant tonight than they had been previous days with some of the actions that we had done. So I think we've really, and I, you know, I think we've also had an impact on a lot of people that have walked by, and that's, I know that's been important for us too, to feel that, you know, people recognize that there are people out there that care, and that we're, you know, we're demanding that there be some changes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it was worth coming down here.
Well, it is.
I'm very happy we came down here.
And I think what you folks are doing is very reminiscent to me of mothers in various countries, especially in Central and South America, who would gather every day in Santiago, Chile, for example.
Right.
Gather every day and remind people of the disappeared, that because of the right-wing dictatorship in that country. It's happened in so many places, and now it's happening in the United States. So just from me to the people that are there, what you are doing is powerfully symbolic, and I'm just so glad that so thankful that you all are there.
Well, thank you. We're very happy to be here, and for those of us that don't, are fortunate not to have any of our family members over there. It's really great for us to be here and to support the women who do have family members over there. There really is such a connection that you feel to all of the women and all the families who have. I just can't imagine what it must be like for them. And we have a woman from Arizona who's with us whose daughter is in the military. So it's a very powerful experience for us.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Thank you, Edwina. Thanks for checking in. And if you get a chance, tell Cindy I said hey, okay?
Okay, we will.
All right, take care.
Okay.
Stay in touch. We'd like to hear from you later on in the week if you have the occasion to call in.
Okay, we'll do that.
All right, thanks, Edwina. I appreciate
it. Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. The number here is 800-989-1480. Craig is calling from Boone, North Carolina. Hey, Craig, welcome to the program.
Mike.
Craig.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good. Linda and I would like to give you a big warm welcome back on the air, you and Kathy.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much.
We stream you from up here in the zipper of the Bible Belt.
Yeah. Boone, North Carolina is beautiful. I used to live in Raleigh, as I'm sure I've said a million times, and Boone, North Carolina is just gorgeous.
Well, we're up here and watching everything going on, and when I go in my 6x9 in my detention center, they're not going to take my Tom Paine away.
No, that's never going to happen.
Bob, look, they're not going to flush that down the toilet.
You're not going anywhere, Craig. There's too many of us.
Yeah. Well, listen, I just wanted to, weigh in on a couple things. I think with this neo-theocratic corporate fascism that is just about taking over this country, I think if we have a lot of quote-unquote victories today in the House and the Senate, I think it's just step one out of 100. Really, what we're looking at here. So I'm not popping any champagne. Hopefully we're going to get rid of a crook out here in western North Carolina. It looks like Shuler is going to beat that timber merchant crook, Russian bank crook, Taylor.
Well, I'm not familiar with one of your districts in North Carolina.
Charles Taylor's way out in the western. Honey, what's the western district? What's Shuler's district?
11th. Oh, yeah.
We're sitting here in North Carolina 5 with Virginia Exxon Fox.
Uh-huh.
She got, how many millions of dollars from the corporate, and Roger Sharp, you look at what he gets, $4,000 from people.
Yeah,
know?
It's. I'm glad it's looking good in that district. Yeah, I got to leave it there. Thanks, okay, Craig. Stay in touch.
Take care. Bye.
All right, appreciate it. We'll be right back, Truth Seekers. Stay with us.
That fish and humans can coexist peacefully. It's more of Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. During the break, just for the sheer hell of it, you want to have some fun? Tune into Fox News Channel. What's his name? Britt Hume. I don't know. It looks like he has the diarrhea or something, and just has to keep jumping up and going to the John. It's pretty glum over there. It is really glum at Fox News.
They're going to have to put those folks on suicide watch.
I know, especially at Fred Barnes. What a monkey he is. Oh, my God.
You know, I actually feel sorry for poor Lincoln Chafee. I really do.
No, no, he could have, look,
he should have defected when
he could have gone independent.
Jumped.
He could have done what
Lieberman.
Lieberman did, what the guy from Vermont did.
Jeffords.
Yeah, he could have gone independent and probably would have had a chance. Now, Republicans need to be put. Republican politicians really need to be put to the sword.
He's the only one that didn't make me want to hurl.
Well, what about Olympia Snow? I mean,
she bugs me. I mean, just there's two or three things about her that irritate me, but one of them is her line of questioning in Senate subcommittee. I digress.
All right, back to your phone calls. By the way, we have three open lines here, so that's very unusual. If you hate to call this program because you're left on hold or you get a busy signal, now's the time to do it. 800-989-1480. By the way, we would love to hear from some Republicans. Any of you Republicans out there, you want to call in and get absolution from Father Malloy? Eh? 800-989-1480. Let's check in with Kevin, who's calling in from Stafford, Connecticut. Hey, Kevin, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Good to hear your voice. I'm a big fan of yours.
Thank you.
I dropped XM when you went off the air, so there you go.
Well, that's loyalty, and I appreciate it.
Well, you're one of the few people that tell it like it is, and we don't agree on everything. I'm a bigger fan of Israel than you are, but... the big important thing here is we're finally seeing some good news.
Yes.
We're finally, it's sort of like coming out of a tunnel, I think, best I can describe it. And I live in Connecticut, and unfortunately, Connecticut didn't come out of the tunnel completely. I wonder what you think Lieberman's going to do now, if he actually has won this thing, and if he is the independent that can move things or not move things. Where do you think he's going? I'm worried. I certainly don't trust the guy at all. I'm a Jew who wouldn't vote for him if my life depended on it. So I guess I'm a strange kind of liberal.
Well, you know, I have to say this since you brought it up. I don't think the man's religion really plays that much into it. Lieberman, to me, is like Zell Miller here in Georgia, and Zell Miller, as far as I know, is some kind of a Methodist fundamentalist. I don't know. At one time, 20 years ago, I was one of Zell Miller's biggest fans. Back in the day when I was writing, I used to write about him. He sent me a letter one time when he was reelected lieutenant governor, and he said a piece I'd written about him for a weekly newspaper here is one of the best things he'd ever read, reminded him of Hunter Thompson's writings. So,
yeah.
You know, I've known Zell. I've known his son, Murphy. I always liked Zell. And then apparently he went insane. And I would imagine that's what happened to Lieberman. he just went totally nuts. And I thought something was up, something was weird when he was picked by the Democratic Leadership Council to run with Al Gore. There is an awful lot of anti-Semitism in this country. There's a lot of anti-woman feelings, and there's a lot of anti-black feeling. And I think when Lieberman was picked, all of a sudden his persona on the stump was just so conciliatory. So, I mean, when I watched that debate way back in the 2000 campaign, where Lieberman was on with what's his name? Oh my God, I'm just completely Cheney. My mind is like mush tonight. When Lieberman and Cheney were on the vice presidential debate, and Cheney, who is just a murderous freak, just an absolute killer, and Lieberman, as far as I know, is not directly responsible to the extent that Cheney is for death and destruction. And Lieberman just sat there and played kissy ass with Cheney, and I couldn't believe it. And that's when I thought, no, this is a... Hey, hold on a second. Let me come back to you, Kevin. We got to
sure.
Take a quick break here, and I'll come back. All right. This is Air America. I'm sorry, it's not Air America. It's Nova M Radio. Well, partly Air. Oh, what the hell? This is Malloy program. Stay with us.
It's going just a little crazy, and I know it can be all of them, and it's just not me. Yeah. So I guess I'm.
Between the two of them, I just have a feeling that they're going to be a winning combination for some time.
So I wonder if they get along. They seem from opposite end of the spectrum. So I'm getting more hand signals here, so I'm not sure. I actually have a clock in front of me, so I should know what's going on. But I think we're rolling back into your show, Mike, so I'm going to get out of the way and let you take over. It looks like you get a lot of callers.
All right, Jeff, we'll talk again next hour.
Thanks, Mike.
And I know you have an update at the top of the hour, too. All right, thanks, Jeff. Jeff Farias with KPHX, a news guy. He has his own talk show, too, right? Jeff and I have not met. We will eventually. Thanks, Jeff. All right, now joining us is a surprise guest for you, talk show host Alex Jones. I have been on his program a couple of times. We chatted several times. Alex, what do you think is going on tonight, pal?
Well, we're witnessing the Republican Party that is run by a pack of wannabe Hitlers attempting to steal the election coast to coast. We've seen record malfunctions and, quote, problems right here in Austin, Texas, massive problems in precincts all over the city for several hours this morning. Quote, none of the machines worked or would even turn on in some cases. And then, quote, somebody, teams of men, would show up and fix them. And we've seen the pre-spin today telling us that don't listen to exit polls. They're never accurate. This was put out in a press release by the Republican Party, quote, beware of exit polls, saying they can't be trusted. But up until the last two elections, with all the fraud we've witnessed, exit polls have been some of the most trusted indicators that we have. And I can tell you, doing thousands of radio interviews in the last few years all over the country and doing my own talk show and talking to people on the street, talking to conservatives, libertarians, middle-of-the-road folks, liberals, that almost everyone hates George Bush, and that's why many Republicans have been running from him, haven't wanted him to campaign for them. And every indicator is that we should have seen a massive landslide, the House being completely won by the Democrats, the Senate being completely taken by the Democrats. And instead, I think we're going to see probably the Democrats winning the House. They're even saying maybe the Senate. I doubt that. And this is basically happening because 35% of the country has these Diebold / ESNS, Hart Intercivic, Sequoia machines that all have major neocon apparatchia behind them. And, quote, all the big malfunctions across the nation have been in key blue states or blue pockets.
That's
like
right.
Austin, Texas, and other areas. And these problems mirror the exact same scams we've seen really in the 2002 and 2004 and 2006 elections across the country. The 2000 election was really the kickoff of all of this fraud that we've been seeing. So really, it's a repeat. And I interviewed Bev Harris, really needs no introduction, of blackboxvoting.org, the big star of the HBO program, Hacking Democracy. And she's been getting death threats in the last few days. They've now confirmed that she's being basically stalked by Diebold employees. We have a press release out on this at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, my two big main news websites right now. Also, folks that are attempting to get to exit polls, people that are attempting to find out from the precincts what they're reporting, are being criminally charged. We have links to those stories that she reported today and have now finally broken in the mainstream news. We have intimidation all over the country. Of course, your listeners already know, because I've been tuning in tonight, that in the last few days there have been millions of phone calls being made with recordings of Democrats three times in a row, making it sound like that they're harassing people when it's a GOP operation. The GOP now, in the past, would engage in these Hitlerian third world tactics in the dark. Now they're proud of it. One of the biggest outrages is that Laura Ingraham, has a national neocon talk show host, has had the nerve to go on the radio and tell people to jam Democrat helplines and complaint lines. So we're seeing, and I've said it, she's a criminal. She should be arrested. I've gone and looked up the laws. This is election racketeering. In fact, racketeering was passed to keep the mafia and others from trying to block people in elections in the East and in the South. And this is classical election racketeering is going on in plain view. So these individuals don't care. They've thrown down the gauntlet, and they're letting their criminality be seen by the whole world.
Let me ask you something, Alex. I want to get to what you think will be the headline tomorrow. It might be a little bit earlier for that, but I still want to get your opinion. But what I'm noticing here is that the United States seems to be two countries. We have generally speaking the North, a little bit of the West, and then we have the South. The North and a bit of the West seems to me to be drifting towards a sort of moderated a Democratic Party attitude, but the South, I'm talking about the old Confederate South where I live, that the South is remaining as solidly Republican as it could possibly be. There's a good case to be made that Sonny Perdue stole the governorship thanks to Diebold machines here in Georgia 4 years ago, and he was reelected today by, I don't know, what was it, Kathy, 2-1, maybe 2.5-1 margin. And of course, we still have the Diebold touchscreen machines here. So, but what's your take on this idea that we really are splitting this country in half, so to speak, between Democrat and Republican? It's no longer let's all try to work together for the common good.
Well, in battleground states like Ohio, Pennsylvania, Indiana, we're clearly seeing fraud, the same pattern again. And yes, in the South, Bush and Perry in Texas and others is the same message. We'll stop the illegal aliens. We'll keep you safe. We'll keep the Democrats from stealing all your guns. When in reality, Bush is at the head of the amnesty program. Bush is at the head of the North American Union. Bush has tripled the size of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. And he has succeeded in yet again lying to his constituency, posing as a Texan. Nothing against people from the North. If I went up to Connecticut and claimed I was from there, I would expect to be rode out on a rail. You know, wearing his cowboy hat out there at the Hollywood set just a few miles from where I sit here in Austin, Texas. So I think that, yes, they are winning many areas in the South legitimately, but in many other battleground states, they're clearly engaging in fraud. And it's just because a lot of folks in the South have been buying into the propaganda. There's a great media consolidation here, as you know, Mike, and it's disgusting. But I think the headline we'll see tomorrow is that the Democrats make some gains, but not as big as thought. Would you know? Wasn't the landslide? They got the House, but not the Senate. And then you're going to have establishment Democrats like Nancy Pelosi riding herd over the new Democrat House to ensure that there aren't impeachment hearings, that there aren't. What did the president know, and when did he know it? The White House memo, where he's openly saying we can, you know, stage WMD discoveries, he should be impeached on that alone. There'll be no discussions of the no-bid contracts. There'll be no discussions of the police state he's setting up with the Military Commissions Act or the Defense Authorization Act, the John Warner Defense Authorization Act that abolishes posse comitatus to allow the military on the streets of America, that abolishes gubernatorial control. I mean, all of the scholars, liberal and conservative, who look at this legislation that's passed, you know, these twin bills signed October 17th, are saying that Bush is now declaring the power of a dictator. And, you know, I'm a conservative. I'm a paleo conservative.
Right.
And a lot of big conservative writers and pundits right now are saying, yes, we need to flush the Republicans down the toilet because they are attempting absolute total power and domination. The power sickness that has seized most other nations and empires throughout the ages has now seized us. And unfortunately, I think that we're going to end up having establishment Democrats dominating and riding herd like an 800-pound gorilla over good Democrats and good Republicans like Congressman Ron Paul. You know, Ron Paul, who has one of the best voting records in the Congress.
Right.
I mean, he gets, you know, Normal gives him the highest rating. The big tech publications give him the highest. CNET gives him the highest rating, you know, on liberal and conservative. I mean, he's into freedom. And the Republicans have been campaigning against him and supporting the Democrats in our state. The NRA came out and lied and gave the Democratic challenger, who's a little neocon clone, Sklar, gave him a higher approval rating than they gave Paul. So my point is that you have an alliance between the Hillarys and the Sklars of the world and the Liebermans of the world with the more virulent strain of the neo-fascist, and I don't use that term lightly, against the American people, whether you're libertarian, paleo-conservative, whether you're liberal. We all are honest people who are trying to be informed, trying to do the right thing. And so you have that group of America that is the majority basically being fought from both sides by the establishment Democrats and the establishment Republicans. But what's happening here, the really exciting thing, the good news for your listeners out there, is that I talk about election fraud 10 years ago. I talk about election fraud 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 2 years ago, and people looked at myself and you and many others like we had five heads. And we were from Pluto. Now, in major polls, 90-plus percent, depending on the poll, it's 90 to 95, don't trust these machines, want paper ballots, are very concerned about what's happening. The Congress itself only has a 84% negative. Both parties, especially the Republicans, Cheney has a 12% approval rating. So the good news is they can engage in these machinations and these Machiavellian strategia to try to keep control, but their power is eroding. A real revolution is rising, and I've seen the erasure of the left-right paradigm. We're getting back to populist, population, freedom, liberty.
Well, let's hope that's true. Alex, let me put you on hold for just a second. We got to take a break here, and we'll come back and finish this up. Stay with us. Alex Jones is our guest. Stay with us, Truth Seekers. I'm Mike Malloy.
For a peace, friends, future, it's Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour on this election night 2006. I'm Mike Malloy. We're talking with Alex Jones, noted nationally syndicated conservative radio talk show host. Alex and I are the type, a paleo-conservative and a paleo-liberal who can get along just fine. All right, Alex, now you were talking about this resistance to a fascist takeover, and I think you and I are on the same page on that one.
Exactly, and I just use the term paleo-conservative because they've tried to deceive us, the controlled press, you know, the mainstream corporate press, and so many others in this whole system to try to turn us all against each other. You talk to Americans and you look at the polls on major issues, we agree with each other, and we have a similar vision for this country, and I am in, you know, great fear for my family's future with George Bush, because George Bush and the crime syndicate he fronts for are going for broke right now, and I love the fact that it's good yellow dog Democrats, good liberals, people that I agree with on a lot of issues, are some of the, you know, people fighting the hardest against this police state, and they're informed on the issues. And so I go back to what I was saying in the last segment, just finishing up. Every indicator I see is positive. The people are getting informed. They are getting involved. And even in conservative states in the South, Bush was not welcome in many areas by Republican candidates. And he's the front man. He's the figurehead, and that shows that his agenda is wildly unpopular. So my bottom line is this. I believe the Democrats needed to win control of the House and Senate. I supported that. If we had a Democrat in power doing all of this and controlling all three branches of government, I would support Republicans or a third party. And so it's so important now and in 2008 to do everything we can to ensure that one party doesn't have control of all three branches of the government or a majority of the governorships. And unfortunately, I do think there's election fraud and scams going on, and that the Republicans aren't going to be able to stop the real Democrat landslide that's taking place, but that they are going to lose some control. And now we have to talk about what happens post-election tomorrow. How do we force the Democratic Party to stand up on its hind legs and do something, because Bush has already crossed the Rubicon, abolishing the Bill of Rights, literally, abolishing posse comitatus, declaring the powers of a modern Caesar. The question is, will we now use a Democratic House, and it does look like they're going to get the House, to leverage and to ensure that a real investigation opens up that will bring out all the admitted dirt to the American people's eyes so that some of the people in the Bush administration can start going to prison.
Yeah, you know, and the thing that worries me a bit is that Nancy Pelosi has already stepped out and said that the and some of the other Democratic leaders have said they're not interested in really holding these people accountable. And by that, I would tend to agree with you, Alex, that some of these SOBs deserve to go to prison. Lord Acton, I believe it was, who made the statement about power corrupting and absolute power corrupting absolutely. And I tend to agree. As much of a traditional blue-collar Democrat as I am, I would hate to think that the Democratic Party in any incarnation would get absolute control of the executive, the legislative, and the judicial branch, and the governorships. I think we may not be in as a neo-Nazi kind of mode as we are now, but
it's still dangerous.
It might be a neo-Soviet kind of move.
Exactly, and so that's what I'm saying to conservatives who are just myopically, like a sports fan, just bowing down, you know, five times a day to George Bush. This needs to stop.
Yes.
And you need to understand, number one, he's not a conservative by any stretch of the imagination. Number two, he is a traitor to the Constitution. He is attempting to destroy our Bill of Rights, and that is America. Without that, we're the same as Nigeria or China or Cuba. And I'm just glad there's people out there like you, Mike Malloy. I'm glad that you're on this new network, and I'm trying to support it and trying to tell people about it. And I just want to encourage everybody to also know that, you know, it's not just the crimes that are widely publicized by the Bush administration. It's their involvement in staging terror attacks. It's their involvement in covering up what really happened in 9/11. And, again, another indicator of how we're taking back the moral high ground, another poll showed 84%, not just 84% having disapproval of Congress, 84% believe the official 9/11 story in a scientific poll is a fraud. And my new film, Terror Storm, for free on Google Video, just type Terror Storm in the Google Video. The film cost me $100,000 to make. The same folks that put out Outfoxed are distributing it. It's in stores all over the country. And guess what? It hit number 9 on the Amazon best-selling charts. It's in the top 100 right now, even beating Al Gore's Inconvenient Truth.
Wow.
And it's in the top, yeah, it's in the top 100 right now of Amazon.com.
All right, Alex, we're flat running out of time, and I want you to get to the we share a lot of audience, but I want you to tell folks who are listening right now the best at PrisonPlanet.com and what's your other website, and how do they hear you?
Sure. PrisonPlanet.com is updated continually 24 hours a day. I have three webmasters working on it full time. PrisonPlanet.com is the best for election coverage right now, and so that's the site you need to know. PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com is updated twice a day. JonesReport.com, and I'm on the radio from 11 to 2 Central Time each and every day. And I want to encourage all the stations out there that are picking up your fine broadcast. Hell, they ought to pick up my broadcast. I've even tried to hopefully get your show, for us to join forces and carry it on the network I'm on that is a progressive slash libertarian. And we've all got to come together, or we're going to hang separate,
yeah,
as Patrick
I think,
Henry said.
I think somebody said that a long time ago. Alex, always good to hear from you. Thank you so much for taking time out tonight to talk to us. And we'll talk again, pal, okay?
Thank you, Mike Malloy.
All right, Alex, take care. Alex Jones, you know how to get in touch with him. You know how to hear him. For those of you who say I can't get along with a conservative, no. MSNBC has decided that the House is in Democratic Party control. They still need 6 seats to control the House officially, but they're going to get them. And the Senate, it's still 3. We'll talk more right after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio. Welcome back, Truth Seekers. It's about 7 past the hour. Boy, I turned over to Fox again. It's like a death watch there. I expect them to start handing out cyanide tablets, or worse, switch to coverage of the Britney Spears divorce filing any moment. I don't know how much longer Bill Kristol and Britt Hume and Fred Barnes and the rest of these suckers can sit there looking all verklempt. I completely forgot, and my apologies, an election night democracy shout-out to our Bay Area listeners at 960 The Quake in San Francisco. Glad you folks are there. You're going to be joined very soon by Seattle, Portland, San Diego, Miami, Minneapolis, Detroit, where else, Kathy? Madison, and possibly the Big Apple. So as the stations continue to sign on to Nova M Radio Network, we are very grateful and we appreciate the support. That sounds so trite, but it's so true. excuse me. The plan is for us to be here, us being Kathy and me, for another 2 hours tonight. You think we're going to make it? All right. Next hour we will be joining Cynthia Black, who hosts Action Point every Sunday at noon Mountain Time on KPHX in Phoenix. And, it'll be her hour. I think what we're going to do is just kind of provide the color to her play-by-play. That's the way it should be. And again, the number here on there's not a tidal wave that's sweeping across the country, but I think had the elections not been tampered with, had the voting process not been tampered with in so many precincts in so many states, the totals would be more dramatic than they are. But I think it's very clear that tonight we'll see the Democratic Party retake both the House and the Senate, and not a second too soon. This corrupt Bush administration has had a free hand, certainly for the past 5 years. The first year of planning and engineering, either by default or by deliberate action, the attack on this country on 2001, September 11, 2001, and the subsequent destruction of everything this country has fought for 230 years, the Constitution, various amendment rights, the Bill of Rights, the fact that we have now become de facto a torture, as well as de jure, a torture nation. This out-of-control son of a bitch who occupies the office of vice president and the useless, murderous freak who runs the Department of Defense, they have taken this country into a situation that is almost just incomprehensible. And I think for a lot of Democrats over the past 2 or 3 years, we've been stunned. And I think finally, as Greg Palast said a couple of months ago, yeah, they're going to try to steal it. That's why the Democrats have to turn out in massive numbers to overcome whatever programming has been factored into the theft of these elections. And it appears that this election cycle, it's happened. The Republicans need to be pushed back into a minority party role, which is where they are most effective. You just heard me tell Alex Jones last hour, I don't believe in single party rule. I certainly don't. I wish we lived in a society where there were 4 or 5 parties, where coalition governments had to be put together. I do. I really do. Where a parliamentary system was used in this country. I truly believe that a parliamentary system of government is a more equitable, it's more responsive to the people, and it sure as hell, as far as I'm concerned, makes a lot more sense of what we have now with our electoral college and all this other crap, winner-take-all stuff. No. And the result has been, at various times in our history, single-party rule that has no business in a democratic republic. Now, arguably, when the Democrats have been in power, with a couple of notable exceptions, the Democrats are just simply not neo-Nazis. However, again, Lord Acton was right. Power does corrupt, and absolute power does corrupt absolutely. I don't care who the party is. But the Republicans, this is the problem. They have a propensity. They have a genetic flaw where fascism is very attractive to all Republicans. If your mama is a Republican, she's attracted to some level to fascism, on some level to fascism. That is the nature of Republicans. It simply is. Corporate control. And now, if fascism bothers you, then use the word corporatism. I don't care. But this is a defining aspect of a Republican, a propensity, an attraction to fascism. What? Kathy just jumped in my earpiece and said, I'm just preaching. All right. All right, I'll stop. Now, any Republicans who want to call in and comment on these elections, please jump in anytime. I promise I won't slap you around. But you have to mind your manners. It's a little bit different now, you see. You have to mind your manners. I think some of you neocons or Republicans or Bush suckers just might be experiencing a democratic moment tonight. Feel like something is off in your universe, do you? Call me. I'll try to help. I'll try to counsel you. I'll try to do for you what these evangelical freaks are trying to do for Ted Haggard, as he tries to reconcile himself to the fact that he likes men as much as he likes women. We turned out, I think Democrats did, in numbers so large this time that the Republicans couldn't steal this one too. It must be bad for people like Karl Rove, this evil pig who figured out early on that Americans are very trusting. We tend to cluster around the middle, and this evil son of a bitch came into power, the real power behind the throne, and decided, oh well, this is going to be easy. We'll terrorize these people. We'll constantly remind them of threats that we make up, that we allow happen. Damn you, Karl Rove. Must be bad for Rove tonight. And Cheney, I don't think Cheney cares. Cheney's accomplished what he wanted to accomplish, which is the theft of billions of dollars. He won't be able to spend it, but he'll, because he's soon going to die of his heart problems. But at least he got it, and I think that's all that's important to some of these right-wing freaks. Like I said, it looks like a funeral over at Fox News Channel. Aw, poor babies. Anyway, if you're Democrat or Republican, love to hear from you tonight, especially Republicans. Of course, it is risky. If you call up, I may just slap the hell out of you, just on general principles. But it depends on your attitude when you call. The number is 800-989-1480. And now back to Kevin, who had called in from Connecticut. Kevin, I'm sorry. Alex showed up, and I told him to call at a certain time. You've been holding on for 45 minutes. Please forgive me.
Hey, listen, I've enjoyed every second of it.
Okay, well, it was a really crappy move on my part, and I'm sorry, Kevin.
No.
All right.
I'm a huge fan. Love to hear it. It's been a long time. I missed you on Air America, so.
Mm.
Anyway, this is, the interview was pretty interesting with Alex Jones, and I have to say that I have, unfortunately, some family members and close friends who consider themselves, and they are, right-wing radical Republicans, and they are absolutely not behind Bush any longer. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I was with my father-in-law last weekend, and he is, he says, I'm against the war. I said, what does that mean after all these years? So I think the tide's turned, and when I hear what I consider radical white right-wing Republicans questioning what's going on, questioning what direction this country is going on, it gives me hope. And then obviously this election is giving me hope. So it's a nice night. It really is. It's a night to, to maybe hope again, hope that we're getting our country back.
I certainly hope that Democrats don't see this particular election as some sort of even a benchmark. I think just enough Americans are sick of these Republican bastards to throw them out of office. But we still have an executive branch that is just chock-a-block with neo-Nazis. We still have a judicial branch that has been perverted beyond recognition. So many of these right-wing judges are nothing more than Republican operatives who have been elevated to federal judgeships up to and including the United States Supreme Court. So if anything, I think what tonight will show Democrats is that if we work twice as hard as Republicans, we can get this country back. But it's going to take that kind of work. Hey, listen, I'm going to leave there. Kevin, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate you checking in. We'll talk again, okay?
Okay.
All right. Take care, Kevin.
Thanks for all your words. It really...
Well, I appreciate that. We'll be back in a moment, Truth Seekers. This is Nova M Radio Network.
Shame on you. It fooled me. We can't get fooled again.
Oh, God. Three seats still needed in the Senate for the Democratic Party to assume control of both houses. It's getting iffier and iffier as the night wears on here. So much depends on what happens in both Tennessee and Virginia. And in both those states, by very slim margins, the Republicans are leading. The Republicans are leading in Tennessee because of the racist nature of the ads that they ran against Harold Ford Jr. And the Republicans are leading in Virginia because of the intimidation that is now being investigated by the FBI, which last time I checked was headed by or under the control of the Justice Department, that is under the control of Bush's Tejano, Alberto Gonzalez. So I don't know. At this point, it's a real toss-up. Corker in Tennessee has about a 54,000 vote lead out of a million and a half cast. And over in Virginia, the incumbent, Makaka Allen, has a several thousand vote lead over Jim Webb. So as the night progresses here, we obviously will get a clearer picture. Back to your phone calls. Diane is calling from Boulder. Oh, my God. Hi, Diane. How are you?
Fine.
Well, good.
I participated in Democracy Today.
And how did you do that?
Calling for about 9 hours, people to say, if you have your absentee ballot, we'll pick it up for you. If you need to get to the polls, we will drive you. Yeah. And if you can go under your own steam, we'll try and find a polling place that's not jammed.
Well, that's that. How did it all work out?
Well, I need to give a shout-out to my homies, the people who brought their kids and were in wheelchairs and were at 7 o'clock. We're still at the polling area, still, even though the door is shut, still, even though the machines were working, but the people who were given the authority to look up their names in the database were too few, and the system that they had to network with downtown didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
They stuck through it. They still might be there.
Mm-hmm.
So all I can say is thank you. Because they didn't have to be there. They could have left, and they didn't.
Well, that's good. I know your governor, Ritter, is winning.
I'm knocking wood on that. I mean, it's still the tiny under 10-20% of reported people,
mm-hmm.
reported precincts, and mm-hmm. most importantly, those precincts aren't done yet. I can say congratulations and yay and that this state is more blue when I wake up tomorrow.
Yeah, that's true. That's
but we've
true.
Been through this before in 2004. We've been through it where we thought we could go to bed, and when we woke up, things snapped back with a quickness
mm-hmm.
because of shenanigans that happened after the votes were in the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
When they started tallying them up, they can still steal this. They can still rig the counting machines.
That's true, and they can still disqualify an awful lot of either absentee ballots or provisional ballots.
They ran out of provisional ballots in some places. They may not have even started to count the absentee ballots they've received today.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what my optimism is, I know they're working hard everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That bastard did not come to Colorado Springs simply to cry on the shoulder of Ted Haggard.
Hey, hold on a second. Hold on a second. We'll come back to Diane. I have to take a quick break here. This is Nova M Radio. Stay with us.
Top Napolitano cruises to a victory. It looks like John Kyle has been declared the winner with 53% of the vote. Still too close to call on Rick Renzi and Ellen Simon, though Renzi leading 53-42. Trent Franks has been declared a winner. John Shattuck has been declared the winner. Ed Pastor holds his seat for the Dems. Currently, Harry Mitchell's leading 52-45% with 80% of the vote in. Jeff Flake, of course, ran unopposed. Rahul Grijalva wins easily down in Tucson, and Gabby Giffords wins down in Tucson as well. So if Carrie Mitchell can hold on, Arizona will be sending 4 Democratic congressmen to the House of Representatives. A huge win for the Democrats here in Arizona. It looks like Prop 103 is going to pass the English only 74-26%. It looks like the voter reward, the lottery, that looks like that's going down, 67-33. It looks like Arizona's decided to raise the minimum wage by 66% on that one. And still too close to call officially, but the defining marriage and the cutting of benefits for domestic partners, it looks like that's going down 52-48. Currently. So lots going on, lots of propositions. We'll probably get to the top of the hour. We'll go through the whole list of the propositions. There's a bunch of them, folks, and 19. Yeah, 5 more than the next closest state, which was California. 19 propositions. Why do we have legislatures if everything's going to be decided by ballot proposition? Who knows? But anyway, we'll get to all of those on the other side. Just a couple other statewide races. It looks like Jan Brewer is going to hold on as Secretary of State. Terry Goddard also, it looks like he won easily. It looks like Mr. Martin won treasurer. Still too close to call between Jason Williams and Tom Horn for superintendent of public schools. Anyway, lots of interesting stuff. We'll have a lot more local stuff at the top of the hour. I'll go through all those propositions. Do we have Mike on the other end yet?
Yeah, hey, Jeff, I wanted to ask you about, Arizona is one of 8 states that had banned gay marriage amendments on their ballots. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin, South Carolina, Virginia have all approved the banning of gay marriages. Results apparently are still pending there in Arizona, Colorado, Idaho, South Dakota, and Tennessee. Do you have any idea how that amendment is working through the system tonight?
Well, right now I'm showing it at 52-48 against. Killing the what they were trying to do was, I mean, it's already the Arizona Constitution already bans gay marriage. This was they were trying to also take away benefits for domestic partners as well. So this is more of a civil union type thing. It doesn't really address gay marriage, although the Republicans have tried to frame it as that. But a pretty aggressive campaign to defeat it. And it looks like, you know, it's a little early to call, but 52-48 with 70% reporting.
That's such a shame. I don't care what the state is, to deny people the rights of civil unions, you know, marriage or getting hitched in a church. There is not a man or woman of the cloth who doesn't say the following during a marriage ceremony. And now, by the power vested in me by the state of blank.
Right.
So to claim that this is a religious sacrament is horse crap. It is an agreement, a contract entered into by two people that the state has an interest in. If people want to go have that civil union sanctified in some church or mosque or synagogue or temple, go for it. But it just this is something I swear, Jeff, that I can't understand. This bigotry, this prejudice, this bias against folks who happen to be gay. This irritates me more than damn near any domestic issue I can think of, because it's so unnecessary. It is just so unnecessary.
Right. I agree with you 100%. A marriage is in a church. You know, the civil union, that's the government's business, and there's no reason the government should discriminate against any two people who want to live together and share their lives. And hopefully it's going to be defeated here. We'll be the first ones here in Arizona to swat that sort of thing down. So.
Well, I hope it happens. Sorry,
I hope the good folks here. There's a great group called Arizona Now who put a lot of time and energy into getting the word out and trying to defeat this thing, and hopefully they can set an example for other states that face this sort of thing.
I would hope. All right, Jeff, we'll join you again at the top of the
hour. Thanks, Mike.
All right. In honor of the Democrats without question winning back the House tonight, we're going to play all goodbye-themed music for the exiting neocons for the remainder of the evening, at least one tiny twig. I won't call it a branch, but it's a twig of our once great republic is back in the hands of relatively sane people. So it's time for a tiny measured sigh of relief, first time since 1994. Now see, if I were the Speaker of the House, or if I were the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, I would immediately begin impeachment hearings. You know, this has nothing to do, as far as I'm concerned, with political this or political that. These sons of bitches have corrupted, I'm talking about Bush and Cheney, have corrupted this democracy. They have violated their oaths of office. They have committed high crimes and misdemeanors against this republic. And they should be brought to justice. They should be held accountable. Oh, well. Back to Diane in Boulder. Diane, thanks for holding on. Sorry for all the rhetoric here.
Oh, no, it's important. In Colorado, I think we have the same dual amendment system for the queers getting married and then them not getting married.
Mm-hmm.
So kudos to the rich gay people who actually stood up and said, we have to actually speak out and get things on the ballot that tell people you can vote yes for something too and not feel like you're going to throw up.
Mm-hmm.
But all I can say right now is that it's due to too soon to tell. I can pray that things go well. I can pray that the people that we do get in the House and the Senate will not turn out to be of the same caliber as Salazar, who decides to kowtow to every piece of legislation, every appointment that Bush wants.
Yeah, and he's heading for re-election, isn't he?
Well, he hasn't had a re-election. He's a senator, so that means we have, like...
Oh, he's not up.
Four more years.
Oh, okay.
Yes, his brother is the one that was up for re-election
okay. In
the House.
I got it.
All I said when I saw my congressperson this afternoon is, well, indictment. I told her she couldn't say anything. I know she can't speak out, but indictment.
Yeah.
And she did said it's going to be fun. So I'm being a little bitty hopeful. Teensy-weensy hopeful that whatever they may do in terms of, oh, no, Master, you don't throw me in the briar patch. Oh, no, I don't want to have those indictments, those nasty, horrible indictments.
That's right.
That they can actually have a poker face. What a concept.
And the idea that all of a sudden, after 12 years, that the Democrats will now have subpoena power in the U.S. House in front of all these committees and subcommittees. They can now order these evil bastards to show up and testify under oath. And if they do not, they can be held in contempt of Congress. Or contempt of the House. I would hope that in the foreseeable future, at least for the rest of my life and my kids' lives, that the Republicans will never again get control the way they have had control of all three branches of government. This cannot happen again.
Or the criminals who call themselves Republicans will never be allowed by those conservatives who actually have a conscience.
Yeah.
To be at the forefront of their party because they're able to bring in the money, bring in the contracts, bring in the pork, and bring in the bribe.
Yeah, that's true.
That it can't not be this easy. It was not easy for the heyday of New York crime corruption with the Democrats. It was not that easy throughout all the years of Chicago corruption.
That's right.
Wasn't that easy because sooner or later the FBI stepped in.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that gives me the teensiest flight of hope on the national, federal level that the FBI made noise last week to say, you know, we could run undercover stings on the Senate. Who would think? Well, of course, announcing that one wants to do undercover stings on the Senate is kind of tipping one's hand. But if they mean it, if there is the majority that will back them up, if there is the majority that will call hearings and put people on the carpet, if they make political firings and political hirings in the Justice Department that compromise the safety and security of this nation, if they actually step up, the one thing that would enduringly give conservatives and liberals a reason to praise the Senate is to go immediately into investigations over the racketeering, over the war profiteering that has happened over the past
years. That's right. Absolutely.
It's about the money. You do not have to raise taxes if you can grab the money back that they stole. That is the clearest way of making everyone understand that government has a purpose and it can be a good one.
That's true.
Rather than waiting for my cut, for my bribe to happen, and therefore things have to get even worse before it trickles down to me.
I hear you.
Should not have to be a thief to have life be a trickle-down economy.
That is so well put. Diane, thanks for checking in.
Thank you.
All right, you have a nice evening. Faith is calling from Philadelphia. Faith, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hey.
We are so happy here. Santorum no morum.
Woo-hoo!
We're in shock. We can't believe it.
Oh my God! He is one that I'm glad to see go, and in a way, it's kind of a shame because Santorum had the potential to really be a force for something other than this neo-fascist right wing. His position on issues that caught my attention, I thought were certainly acceptable to me, but he was just a right-wing neocon freak, and I just hope the door doesn't hit him in his buns when he walks out.
Well, he was power-hungry, and we were worried he was going to steal the thing, so that's one of the reasons I'm calling, because there's a university professor at the University of Pennsylvania named Steve Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote a book called Was the 2004 Presidential Election Stolen?
Oh, my. Gee, there's an interesting concept.
Uh-huh. And he's doing exit polling in southeastern Pennsylvania because 17 counties in Pennsylvania went from their nice old reliable voting machines to Diebold machines this year.
Yeah.
And, you know, even though Casey won, and we're really glad about that, we don't know if there was some shenanigans, so I'm asking everybody to look at the website, which is electionintegrity.org, to see if Diebold might have had some shenanigans in Pennsylvania.
Electionintegrity.org.
Right.
I am hoping that in the next 2 years there will be enough pressure. In other words, before we have the next national elections, that there will be enough pressure put on these three hideous right-wing neoconservative monstrous destroyers of democracy voting machine companies to get them the hell out of the precincts. You know, when Kathy and I went to vote today here in Georgia, and we walked into the Baptist church that is our precinct, and we have to stand there in front of these Diebold machines with a nice little old ladies and little old men who hand us the key card, and we insert the key card, and we're both standing there thinking, here we go. You know, does our vote matter worth a damn? I'm not a Luddite. I really like technology. But I swear to God, in this country, we ought to do the Canadian model. You go in, you get a paper ballot, you check off, I believe this is still the Canadian model, you check off the people you want in office, you hand in the ballot, you're given a receipt, and somebody counts them.
Right. What's so difficult about that?
I know. And if we want to go for electronic voting, okay, go for electronic voting, but give me a damn receipt.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like having corporations involved in our voting.
No, no. And the audacity of these evil people saying, well, you're not going to know what the programs are in these voting machines because it's proprietary information. What in the hell is that about? This is democracy. This is voting we're talking about, Faith. We're not talking about ATM machines. We're talking about the very foundation of democracy. Oh, I hope in the next 2 years that a concentrated effort is made to get rid of these abominable machines.
It's outrageous. We'll have a corporatocracy, not a democracy, until we get rid of those machines.
I hear you loud and clear. All right, Faye, thanks for checking in, all right?
So great to have you back, Mike. I thought my boyfriend was going to move to Germany if you didn't come back.
Well, I'm glad I saved your relationship. Take care, Faith.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Buddy is calling from the Bible Belt. And, Buddy, hold on just a second. Man, that could be any place in 15 states. Hold on, Buddy. We'll come back and pick you up right on the other side of this break. This is Nova M Radio. I'm Mike Malloy.
Call it a night. The fire is over. And tomorrow starts the same old thing again.
Goodbye.
What a crazy, crazy party. Never seen so many people laughing, dancing. Look at you. You're having fun.
Goodbye, Republicans.
But look at me. I'm almost crying. But that don't keep her love from dying. Misery calls for me. The party's over. Turn out the lights. The party's over.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
And the goals for this country are a compassionate American for every single citizen.
Yeah, so is your mama. It is about 10 before the hour. About 10 minutes from the time we normally sign off. We're going to stick around a little bit and join the crew at KPHX in Phoenix. Keep the program going for another hour, so stick around. Buddy is calling from the Bible Belt. We're at in the Bible Belt, Buddy? That's hard to say.
Right here in Columbia, in the heart of the capital city.
Oh, in South Carolina.
Yeah, rebel flag right here in your face.
Yeah.
They took it off the Capitol, put it right here by the side of the street.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Yeah, I just want to talk about my little voting experience and maybe a third party if I could get a chance. But I never voted before 2004. I'm almost 40 years old. And after I heard about the 2000 election maybe being fraudulent, I wanted to experience the election during the 2004 to see what I thought of the experience. And I did notice fraud around the country, of course, and I've been paying attention to it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to make sure I could do a paper ballot this time. So when I walked in today, it was like a 10-minute wait. And when I showed him my ID, of course, our governor doesn't know how to do that with the correct ID, I guess, because Stanford embarrassed us and the whole country is laughing at us. But I asked, I said, what about paper ballot? And they said, I don't know about that. And I was like, oh, my God, you're kidding me. So I walked over there and touched the screen. We don't have any paper ballots. We have touch screen machines, Votronics with no paper ballots, and just unbelievable. But the whole voting experience nowadays is, for what it's come to in South Carolina, being as backwards as any state in America, and pretty much anybody knows that. I actually did a split ticket to vote for one Republican for our state, for our lieutenant governor, even though he's a hazard to our state. But he was running against the Democrat that is actually a lobbyist and attached to the cockfighting family ring. Well, now he won, so now we have a lobbyist cockfighting ring family member as our lieutenant governor.
Oh, my God.
That's our South Carolina Bible Beltway for you, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but yeah, but this third party thing that we need to look for in the future is as many people that support Bush actually support the 9/11 truth movement, and that's a third of the country. Now, if we can get them people together and band them together, and there have been talks about maybe doing a 9/11 aid concert with a lot of the musicians that are trying to promote 9/11 truth, to get them together to raise money to actually start a 9/11 truth campaign, or at least another party besides the Constitution Party, which is a little radical, the Green Party nobody really wants to go to, but start a party that at least a third of America is already saying yes. That could be a very powerful movement for the next election, to get everybody to at least get in the same line and say, look, we want the same change as everybody else here in the third of America that wants it, and we could become that strong third party.
Well, I hope that day comes where there is more than Democrats and Republicans, but buddy, I don't know. Every time a third party has tried to make a move here in modern U.S. Political history, it's been murdered in its cradle. Of course, with Rick Santorum gone now, maybe that can happen. All right, buddy, thanks for checking in, pal. I appreciate
you. Thank
you
very much.
All right, sir, you take care. In Virginia, it is right now, it is 49% to 49%, Jim Webb and George Allen, with 99% of the precincts reporting. Out of 2.25 million votes cast, there is a 2,500 vote difference. Out of 2.25 million cast. This is the kind of election that the Diebold machines love to steal. This is the kind of election, when it's very close like this, that the program kicks in that says, no, give it to the Republican. So I just hope that Jim Webb, former Secretary of the Navy under Ronald Reagan and now a Democrat, I hope that Jim Webb does not concede. I hope he doesn't do an Al Gore or a John Kerry and concede. It is close enough that every single vote in the state of Virginia can be recounted. And I don't think Jim Webb is going to wimp out the way Kerry and Gore did. You know, I'm saying wimp out for whatever reason. Maybe Kerry, maybe Gore had the best interests of the Republic at heart in mind. If that's the case, look how wrong you were, boys. Why didn't you stand up on your hind legs and fight? But to hell with you, that's history. That's gone. Appreciate what Al Gore is doing right now. Appreciate what Kerry does, as long as he just keeps his damn mouth shut, or else when he goes to make a joke, make it so these Republican animals can't spin it. Come on, boys, you know what to do. My God, and stop apologizing. I don't think Webb is the type would apologize for anything. Now, both Webb and Kerry, and Gore, for that matter, are all combat veterans. So I don't understand the Gore-Kerry thing. But Jim Webb, please, please, please don't concede this race. Please don't concede it. All right. break here. We'll be back. We're going to be joined. We are joining Cynthia Black, who is a weekend talk show host at KPHX in Phoenix, our flagship station on this network. So stick around, all right? I'm Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio Network. Stay with us. Goodbye, Republicans!